This is Phil Rowe
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
It is Anne French from the National Trust in one of her fairly frequent and not so infrequent visits to our studios. She's leading up now to Christmas. Everything is hotting up, ready for Christmas. You can almost smell the lovely scent of Christmas in the air all the way from Wimpole Hall, because she looks after the estate from the events management point of view. She's here to join us this morning. And good morning to you. Thank you for coming back to see us again.
No, good morning, Phil. Nice to be described as genteel. I don't know if my colleagues will agree with me.
Oh, really? Oh, I should imagine this time of year, it does get a little bit hectic.
Yeah.
I always ask you, actually, how many staff actually work with you and under you?
I don't have any staff working under me at all, actually. But we've got I mean, I think I was talking last time about our team of volunteers, and a lot of them help me out a great deal at events. We're very grateful to them all, and we rely on them a lot. But I mean, in terms of staff numbers at Wimpole, I believe it's about 80 staff. I mean, obviously it changes, you know, but I think it's around about between 70 and 80, and we have over 500 volunteers. So,
and it's everyone from wardens to gamekeepers to those looking after the house stewards.
Yes, that's right. You know, a whole range of you know,
farm manager, I guess, in there somewhere.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Catering manager.
Yep. And we need people to look after all those different areas of the estate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a festoon of events that's on your website at the moment.
Yeah, it's good.
Go to nationaltrust.org.uk and split out to Wimpole Estate. Mm-hmm. You've got many, many things going. We're going to concentrate on those going on just before Christmas. You close, obviously, the Christmas week to New Year's, or do you actually open during that?
We're open on Christmas Eve, but of course we close Christmas Day, and that's the only day we're closed, actually. We're open New Year's Day. The parkland is open for walks. I mean, it's always open, actually. I mean, you could go there on Christmas Day if you want, if you're a pedestrian, because you know, we have footpaths crossing the estate. But no, we don't close. I think across the National Trust, in fact, we are open a lot longer now. Everywhere is. It's because, you know, there's always been this perception of the National Trust that, oh, they close over winter, so what's the point of, you know, getting involved and everything? But actually, now we're open a lot longer, not necessarily entirely open. It may be that there are, parts of the house are open over the winter. You know, we're open a lot more than we used to be.
That's blown away a perception that I always think of. You say October 1, that's it, the shutters come down. The blinds go down, and that's it.
No, it did used to be like that. It was always after October half term. But once, there is limited opening now, because obviously places have to be cleaned and conserved and all that kind of stuff. So, you can still come and visit and see lots of things and have a nice day.
Plus, there's always, and the fact that it's more lived in, isn't it? The fact that the public are moving around the building, but a building that's empty, especially in the winter months, becomes dank and dark and damp.
And well, hopefully not damp. I think that's part of our, you know, job is to make sure it doesn't really get damp. But yes, I mean, I think from the point of view of the soul of the place, it's nice to have people there, you know. Otherwise, what's the point, really? You know,
cheers the staff up, doesn't it, to have the public coming around?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's just it's just sort of what houses are about, really. They were meant to be lived in. So,
not only the house, but of course the estate. You've got the farm there. You've got folk music in the Great Barn every Saturday and Sunday during December.
That's right, yes. That's been a very popular thing that we do. They're all local musicians that we've got from local folk clubs. So the names will be familiar to people that are interested in folk music, or some of the names. There's a duo called The Larks, for example, that are from Bury St Edmunds, a chap called Martin Kazak, and Faradina Afifi. No, so if you're into folk music, you will probably have seen some of these people at clubs here and there. So that's always great, and it's very relaxed, and it's obviously you don't pay to come in. You know, it's just part of the offer at Christmas. So you can just sit and listen to the music if you want to take a break from walking around the farm.
And not an extra, so that's great. It's sort of thrown into the mix at the time. Beeswax candle-making craft activity for families in the activity barn. You're going to be doing that over Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday. So what is that actually just over the Christmas...
Yeah, I'm afraid I've actually told you the wrong thing. It's only going to be at the weekends. It's not the Monday and the Friday, because obviously most children are at school. But definitely the weekends. It's a lovely, again, it's something that's backed by popular demand, because it's quite an easy but very effective thing. Where you roll a sheet of beeswax and you can make your own candle. And it's just great at Christmas time, you know, because they can be given as presents or just used as part of your own celebrations. So, yes, that's in a lovely space called the Activity Barn at Home Farm.
So does that mean that actually using higher temperatures when you hot dip the wax? Or
No. There's nothing like that. It's totally... The beauty of it, it's just very soft. They're soft, rollable sheets of beeswax. So even really small children can do it without any risk of burning or anything, you know.
Malleable sheets. And does the wax come from bees on the estate?
No. We don't have enough.
Oh, what a shame.
We don't have enough bees. We have got bees on the estate, but not enough to provide all that wax. No, sadly not, no.
Oh, it could be a bit more sustainable, but I do appreciate it. It's probably poor.
Well, if
bees
you think about the numbers that we... that we have, the numbers of people through, we just wouldn't be able to provide it. Yeah.
And also brass band music's coming up in the stable block so the stable block's actually right by the main Wimpole Hall.
The stable block is where you have to go to present your membership card or to buy your ticket. And it's also where the shop is and the bookshop. And a lovely lady who sits and spins woolen jumpers and hats and gloves with wool from the estate. So there's all that, and then yes, the brass bands. It's from 1:30 to 3:30 each weekend day, and one of them is the City of Cambridge Brass Band. So that's good. And then there's Water Beach Brass as well, and as well as others from Royston and Bedford. So we try to represent, again, local talent.
And they are excellent, especially the Cambridge Brass Band.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yes, well, they're all excellent.
Very good. All of them, I'd say that. Mm-hmm. So it's very true. Yeah. And so the spinning wheel, is it one of these traditional treadle pedal spinning wheels?
I think she has got pedals, yes. I'm not an expert in these matters, but I'm pretty sure she's got pedals. Otherwise, she must have, otherwise it wouldn't go around. So... I mean, she's but Vanessa is a great craftsperson, and it's all very reasonably priced, and she puts a lot of work into it. And but yes, it's a wool from the Wimpole Estate, the rare breed sheep that we have, so it's interesting colours as well. And I'd advise people to get in there quick, because she tends to sell out of her stuff.
More about selling out and the way you're going to. Get the public around with a grand tour. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Firstly, though, the catering. So if you want to warm your heart, your soul and your stomach, you've got mulled wine, mince pies and a hot chocolate bar, as we were mentioning earlier on, that's setting everyone off here in the catering department. Sounds good for winter.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, the mulled wine and the mince pies, that's great. That's very Christmassy. The hot chocolate bar we decided to introduce because it's in the gardener's cottage, which is in the walled garden, which is actually not that close to any of the catering outlets. So if you're looking around the garden, and it is the sort of garden you want to spend time in, and you suddenly want a warm drink, it's annoying to have to go and, you know, walk off somewhere else, you know. So we're setting up a hot chocolate bar we're inviting donations for it, which is done on a trust basis. So there'll be a donations box, and then there's a table, and you can help yourself to... I mean, it's chocolate with a choice of syrups that you can add if you wish, and marshmallows and cinnamon and things like that. So you can design your own hot chocolate, and just, you know, and while you're there, you can read. We've got lots of information in the cottage about the history of the walled garden, so it's a good opportunity to do that.
That's nice in its own right.
Yes, exactly.
The hot chocolate and the smell of it, the aroma coming around the corner. So in the hall, the theme for this year's decorations, how many years have you been sort of decking the halls with boughs of holly, so to speak, then?
Well, I think there's always been some, ever since we've been open, they'll have done something at Christmas, and we opened in 1979. I don't know what, you know, the early years of the, you know, the trust ownership, what exactly they did, but it will always have been some kind of decoration. And, I mean, carols as well and things like that. So, you know, the usual Christmas offer. So
this year's theme, though, it's themed differently every year. Grand Tour. Inspiration from around the world.
Yep. That's right. The reason we're doing the Grand Tour is because this year we've had a focus on the third Earl of Hardwick, who was one of the past owners of Wimpole. And he went on the Grand Tour, like a lot of, you know, young men and occasionally young women of, you know, of his class. And so we've got an exhibition, for example, in the Red Room, which I would invite people to come and see about the Grand Tour. And it's important to Wimpole because it was while he was on the Grand Tour that he met the famous architect John Soane, who designed a lot of really lovely things at Wimpole, including the Great Barn at the farm, the Yellow Drawing Room, and a giant bath that's in the house, which I don't think will be open over the winter, actually, but, you know, you can come back and see it another time. So that's why we're keen on the Grand Tour. I don't want to give too much away about the exact contents of the decorations, because that will take away the surprise element. But But it's all been done by volunteers. We don't get anybody in from outside to do it. And it looks, people are always blown away actually by the Christmas decorations. A lot of people think it's been done by a professional company, but it hasn't. It's just our staff and volunteers who come up with the idea and execute it. So
the rigging and the attachment, everything is done by volunteers. Mm-hmm. Wow! But it's just very, very popular. So you have to use a method from this year going forward of getting people through, pacing them along in terms of the queues you have.
So this year, for the first time, we've introduced time tickets to the house. A lot of places have been doing this for a while, so it's nothing new really for the National Trust, but it's new for us. You know, the only time we've done it before was for a Santa Father Christmas thing we did, you know, but this is entry to the house. And I think people will find it improves their experience because it will reduce log jams and bottlenecks and all those annoying things that you get when everyone's trying to go in somewhere at the same time. And there's, if you know when your ticket is, you know, you've got the advantage of knowing how long you've got to look round somewhere else or go and have something to eat, and then you can, I mean, obviously there's a bit of leeway, you know, you don't, it's not like you'll be turned away if you come, you know, 5 or 10 minutes after your entry time. I think it's a half hour window or something like that. I'm not sure, but it's quite relaxed. But it's just a way of trying to, you know, make sure there's not too much overcrowding really.
So that'll also give people a better experience, avoid that overcrowding, as you mentioned as well, Anne. Now, pomanders, I seem to think of, I remember those from 18th century gentry.
Yes.
They were often put into rooms to hide the smells of poor hygiene in those days.
Well, yeah.
But you have craft activities on Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, and again, are you doing it over a long weekend?
Just the weekend. The weekend, and that's in the house. It's obviously, in our case, it's nothing to do with poor hygiene. I'd like to assure everybody.
Of course, but it was used, wasn't it, for that
it's probably a plague against the plague as well, or something like that, which, again, isn't a problem for us. But, no, we're just doing it for fun. But, yes, it is. You're quite right. It was a historical... it dates back a very long way, and it's very simple. Everyone can do it, and again, it makes a really nice Christmas decoration for your own house.
Some nice perfume, should we say? One wafting through the place. Dust and discovery behind the scenes conservation tours, which you're going to be doing over that Christmas period from Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, on the 23rd and 24th of December. You can bring your own book and read it in the library as well.
Yeah.
We're cramming a lot in here, but first of all, the dust and discovery.
Dust and discovery is, that's great because, obviously there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes that most people don't really get the chance to see, which is, you know, the core purpose of the National Trust really is keeping these places beautiful and free from, you know, sort of bookworm and you know, all the various sort of insects and beetles that can destroy carpets and all that kind of stuff and things, and also you know, stuff needs to be cleaned. So this usually, traditionally, this would have just happened when the house was closed and nobody would have known how to do it. But it's actually extremely interesting. So this is just a chance for people to come and act and get, you know, get an idea of what conservation is actually about. And who knows, you know, if young people, it could lead to an interest in that as a career or something, you know. So yes, it'll be... I'd highly definitely recommend those.
And you're going to let us wander to the library on Christmas Eve and the eve of Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
First time you're going to allow for Christmas or any time really, any visitors to tramp across the carpet, hopefully very carefully.
Yeah, I mean, because the carpet's very delicate. And so, I mean, you can normally see the library. You know, when you come to visit, you can look in, and there's a really good view of it. And you know, the room guides can explain what's in there and what it's all about. But no, access is not allowed normally. But this is just it's such a lovely space, and you know, there's something special about reading a book in an old library. It's very peaceful. I don't know if there'll be anybody there, you know, saying shush or anything like that, but I think it's the kind of space where you would just kind of be peaceful anyway.
You
know,
want
just,
to be.
And just kind of, yeah, just relax.
Reverent and respectful of the environment you're in.
Yeah.
Wow. Gosh. After that, you'll want to lie down and rest after a very, very busy December.
Oh, just
and
have
your
some of the mulled wine, you know.
It's going to keep you going, Anne.
Yeah.
If you want to find out more details about this as a listener, nationaltrust.org.uk/Wimpole-estate, look for what's on, or just go to the National Trust website and look for Wimpole Estate. You'll find out then about all of these events that we've been talking about between Anne and myself over the Christmas period. It sounds fantastic. You sound busier than ever. I guess your numbers finally then, Anne, go up year on year at Christmas time in terms of footfall coming through.
I mean, visitor numbers generally are on the increase, hence the time tickets, you know. I can't quote the specifically the Christmas figures at the moment, but certainly we're at nearly 400,000 visitors a year now. So, you know, it's a busy time.
And very well managed.
Well, let's hope so. It hasn't happened yet, but that's our intention.
And fantastic. Yeah. And next time around, we'll be talking about a ground heat pump that you are going to be putting in. It's a new project to get rid of your oil-fueled system of heating at Wimpole Hall by using geothermals. So you've got some hot rocks somewhere down in the soil.
It's just soil. It's not even hot rocks. It's just soil. But yeah, I can tell you more about that when we've got more time. But
A way of moving away from carbon fuels.
Yeah.
And thank you very much. Look forward to learning about that one next time.
Okay.
Highly
lovely.
Interesting as always. Thanks very much.
Phil. Thanks very much.
Anne French, who's the manager of all things when it comes to events at Wimpole Hall for the National Trust.